So today, as we near the end of this list of the fruit of the Spirit, the consequence and the work of God in our hearts and our lives as we pursue Jesus, we come to this great fruit called faithfulness. And as usual, we need to begin by considering and thinking about, at least a little bit, some of God's faithfulness, because as we've said it again and again, and we need to remember as we go through this, that the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians is nothing less than the character of God being displayed in our lives. And so we need to begin by thinking about God's faithfulness. And so I just want to invite you to consider some of the testimony of God's faithfulness we find in God's Word. Consider these scriptures. So you can see that you just can't get very far in the Bible without hitting up against this truth of the faithfulness of God. As we've heard in these scriptures, we can learn so much from God's faithfulness. First of all, for example, we see that it's God's faithfulness that causes him to keep his covenant promise to be our God and for us to be his people. It's God's faithfulness that causes him to pour out his unfailing love upon his creation. But God's faithfulness is not all sugar and sweetness. It's kind of a surprise to read in Psalm 119. I know, O Lord, that your laws are righteous, and in faithfulness you have afflicted me. A bit of a surprise, but God is so faithful to us and his ultimate and desire for our well-being that sometimes he even brings or allows difficulty and struggle and strain and stress into our life so that our eyes and our hearts would be dragged back to him. It's God's faithfulness that causes him to stick with us even when we tell him to take a hike. I love what the Apostle Paul said there in Romans 3. What about if some of us are faithless? If we don't have any faith, does our lack of faithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all, says Paul. In spite of us, God does not let down on his faithfulness. Faithfulness, as Psalm 89 proclaims, is the very character of God. God is faithful. So from these passages we read, we can come up with some definitions of what faithfulness actually means, whether we're talking about God's faithfulness to us or our faithfulness to him and to other people. We read about how God says that faithfulness is basically loyalty. It's being a person that can be counted on. God is a being, a person that can be counted on. Throughout all of Israel's history, when they went through difficult times, when they were enslaved, when they were in captivity, when they were starving, when the crops failed, all of these things, it was clinging to God's faithfulness that got them through. The trick, of course, is that his faithfulness sometimes took several hundreds of years to be seen. But to be faithful is to be a person that can be counted on. Faithfulness is keeping one's promise, one's word, even when the other person doesn't. Faithfulness is to be a person that when he speaks, when God speaks, it can be counted on regardless of how Israel responded. Again and again, God would prove himself faithful when Israel rebelled. God would give them a time of discipline, and then he would raise up a prophet, a judge, a people, a movement to bring him back. And in our life, so often, when we are faithless to God, when we let God down, God remains faithful to us. Faithfulness means keeping one's word, even when it costs us more than we can imagine because of the choices of the other person. God's faithfulness cost him his son. Because of the actions of you and me. But it was God's faithfulness, in spite of that, that caused him to pay the price. Faithfulness is being true in the big and the small things. For God, that means everything from providing our daily bread to ultimately providing salvation. For you and me, it's everything from returning phone calls to paying the price when things are tough with our friends and with our family and with our spouses and with others. Faithfulness is sticking with it for years, even decades, when it seems like everything goes wrong. God's faithfulness lasts through the generations, lasts through the centuries, even the millennia. His faithfulness keeps going. Faithfulness means sometimes taking tough and unpopular stands, as God's faithfulness sometimes brought affliction upon his people. And so for us, being faithful means taking a stand, even when it's unpopular. You see, as I think about these definitions of what faithfulness is, here's what struck me. What struck me is this, that faithfulness is awesome. Faithfulness is great when we are on the receiving end of it. When someone is being faithful to me, when God is being faithful to me in spite of myself, then faithfulness is this thing that I just celebrate and I glory in, and I'm just happy to have it around. But when faithfulness is demanded of me in the face of difficulty or hardship or unfaithfulness, then all of a sudden faithfulness is not really something that I want to sign up for. You see, faithfulness is tough stuff when we are called to be faithful. it is hard. You know, Solomon, King Solomon, you remember Solomon? God asked him, Solomon, what is it that you want? You can have anything you want. What do you want? And Solomon said, Lord, I want you to give me wisdom that I might rule your people correctly. And God says, because you've asked this, I'll give you that plus a whole bunch of other things. And so Solomon was the wisest person that lived, had the wisdom of God. Not only that, but he sent his emissaries from his court all around to the known world, to other courts. And he observed life and he gleaned wisdom from all around the world and ran it through the filter of God. And the result of that is the book of Proverbs. And after Solomon had looked at thousands of people and millions of circumstances probably and all of life, this is what he concluded in Proverbs chapter 20, many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person, who can find? In other words, talk's cheap. It's easier to say, I'm going to be faithful. It's easier to bring a son up here and before a wedding and to give my promise to my bride. It's easy to shake hands and give my word. It's easy to say these things. But sometimes it's very, very hard to remain faithful. Faithfulness is not for the faint of heart or the romantic idealist. Faithfulness is blood, sweat, and tears. And yet, we are called to be faithful. As a matter of fact, faithfulness is to be one of the defining characteristics of a Christian. It's a defining word for us. You know, when Paul writes to the Christians in Ephesus and to the Christians in Colossae, he begins these letters to them by calling them the faithful in Christ. I'm going to write to you who are faithful. Faithfulness is to be so much of our character that we are known as the faithful ones. Yes, faithfulness to be God, to be sure. But do not miss this. Faithfulness also to others. Faithfulness in all that we do, all that we say, and all that we are. It is God's expectation that Christians, that you and I who say we follow Jesus, that we are to be people that can be counted on. We are to be people to whom those definitions apply in all of our dealings. That's the tough news. We're called and expected by God to be faithful. The good news, though, is that our passage today and over these last several weeks has been that faithfulness in our lives is a fruit or is a result of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. God just doesn't say, okay, now go out there, no matter how tough it is, be faithful. Instead, God says, I expect you to be faithful, and now I'm going to enable you to be faithful by giving you the Holy Spirit as you live your life in Him. But remember, the fact that faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit doesn't mean that we're just passive. It doesn't mean that, well, you know, we say to somebody that we're going to break a deal on, we shook hands, the whole thing, but I've decided I'm not going to do it. Well, how can you do that? Well, I'm still waiting for the Spirit to make me faithful. Doesn't work that way. We saw as we began this journey that to be faithful by the fruit of the Spirit means, first of all, that we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to keep in step with the Spirit. We need to sow to the Spirit. And we took some time and fleshed out exactly what that means in practical life. If you don't remember how that's done or you weren't here, then go back on the website and go to the media site there and look on the sermon of July the 20th. It's all outlined there for us that the faithfulness, we can't do it alone, God says. When the going gets tough, it's so easy for us to just sort of welch on a deal. But by the fruit of the Spirit, we can be faithful. But in order for that to be evident in our life, we need to cooperate with the Spirit through these ways. So what does it look like for the Christian to be faithful? Well, we've already seen some of that as we've gone through some of these definitions. But you know, Jesus knows us. And so one of the ways that he taught us what faithfulness is, he knows that we remember stories. And so one of the most famous stories in the Bible that he taught has to do with faithfulness. And from this story, we can learn lessons from three servants. You'll remember the story. You have your Bibles with you. You can turn into Matthew chapter 25, and that way you can check up on me and make sure I'm telling you the truth. But Jesus tells this story. let me explain to you faithfulness, he says. There was this businessman, wealthy, well-to-do businessman, and he was going to leave the country for a while. And so before he left, he called before him three servants. And he looked at each of these servants, and he recognized that these servants all had different abilities. One was smarter than the other. Another had better social network than the other. And he weighed and measured each of these people, recognizing that they were different. And then he took three sets of bags of gold. And to the first person, who was pretty smart and very well connected, he gave five bags of gold. And he said, "Here, I'm going to entrust you with these five bags of gold. I'm going to go away and you take care of this, and you look after this for me." He went to the middle guy and he said, "You know, here's three bags of gold. No comment on your, you know, but here's three. This is what you can handle. I'll give you three now. Multiply those out." And then he went to the last person and he said, "Here's one bag of gold," but he wasn't bright enough to realize he got less than the rest. It didn't clue, you know, he's just a little less able. So the owner gives him one bag of gold. He said, "Now I'm going to go away for a long time and I want you to be faithful servants." And he went away. Well, the guy with five bags of gold, he was just licking his chops. I mean, this was an opportunity of a lifetime. And he had all kinds of social connections and he had all kinds of business ideas. And he was a pretty savvy guy. So he went out and he invested those five bags of gold. He started two or three businesses. One of them failed, but two of them made it. And some of his investments paid back. And lo and behold, he doubled the gold. And the guy with three bags of gold, he went out and he used all of his abilities and all of his social contacts and all of his networking. He invested his three bags of gold, and some of it worked out and some of it didn't. But in the end, he came out and he doubled the money too. But the person with one bag of gold, bit of a timid guy, a little bit fearful. And he said, "Man," he said, I know that my master, he's a tough guy, and what am I going to do? I've watched these other guys, and some of it works and some of it doesn't work. And what happens if the stuff that I do, what happens if it doesn't work? Then I'm going to be in big trouble with my master." And it struck him. I'll go into the backyard, and I'll dig a big hole, and I'll bury that bag of gold. And at least it'll be safe. And once a week, I'll go out, and I'll make sure that it's still there, and that it's safe, and that it's good. And then at least I'll be able to give back what I was given. Well, we know how it turned out, don't we? Master comes back and he calls up the servants. He says, "Okay, boys, lay it on me. How'd you make out? What'd you do?" Guy with five bags of gold said, "Well, master, you know, I did this and I did that, and that one didn't work out so well, but these other ones did, and lo and behold, I have doubled what you've entrusted me with." And the owner said, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. You've been trustworthy and faithful in a little bit, so now I'm giving you so much more. Come and enjoy your reward with me." Next in line was the guy with three bags of gold, and he said, "You know, I did the same thing. I don't have as much money as that last guy. You didn't give me as much to start with. But you know, I've doubled it up. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on and get your reward. Way to go." Finally, in shuffles the guy with one bag of gold, and it's kind of rotten and got holes in it. Catching it as it drops out. And he says, "Master, I knew that you were a tough and demanding master, expecting to reap where you have not sown. And I didn't have the contacts of these guys. I didn't know what to do. And so I buried this gold, and I'm giving it back to you now." And the owner looked at it. I looked at him, and he said, "You know what? You could have at least put that money in the bank. I didn't expect you to do an IPO. I didn't expect you to multiply it out and to do things beyond your capability. But you could have at least put it in the bank and earned interest. You are a wicked and unfaithful servant. You're fired. Cast him out." Well, there's things that we can learn as God has impressed this story of faithfulness in our hearts, because we know this story, because on the one hand, it's filled with great celebration and joy, and on the other hand, it makes our knees quake a little bit, doesn't it? So what are some of the things that we can learn about faithfulness from this story that Jesus has imprinted in our hearts? Well, I think the first thing we need to learn is that when it comes to faithfulness, God knows us. It's very interesting to me that in verse 15, it says that he looked at these different servants and he gave them according to their ability. You see, the good news is that God does not expect anything of us that he knows we can't handle and that he won't equip us to handle. God knows us. But he not only doesn't expect more of us than we can handle when it comes down to production for the kingdom, he also knows how much we can handle in terms of brokenness and weakness. It's such a marvelous passage that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where he says that no temptation, no struggle, no difficulty has overtaken you except what is common to us all. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tested beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. You see, when it comes to these tough times in our life, God says, I'm not going to let anything happen to you that you can't handle. First of all, you need to understand that nothing is going to happen to you that's not common to people. You know what that means? It means this. It's so easy for us to start thinking that we've got the toughest deal. That nobody has it as rough as me. That nobody has it as hard as me. Nobody, I mean, they've had this differently in their life, but they didn't have this and they didn't. It's very easy for us to think that you know what, I'm a standalone in this. No one's had it this rough, and therefore I'm justified in being unfaithful in this circumstance because nobody's had it like I've had it. No one's been abused like me. No one has been trounced on like me. No one's as dumb as me. But whatever the case may be, it's easy. And what God says, no, you need to understand something. If you stand up and you talk to people and you say, this is going on in my life, what you'll find is an untold number of people that will say to you, you know, I went through that too. And so thinking that our circumstance is unique is not an excuse for being unfaithful and turning around and saying, well, you know, it's a little bit different for me. The second thing that God says is, not only have I put you in this community of believers who have walked through it already and so can pull you along because they know what you've been through, but not only that, but when you are tempted, I'm going to give you a way out so that you can endure it. Doesn't mean it's going to be an easy way out. Doesn't mean it's going to be a bed of roses. But God will provide a way to walk with us so that we can handle it. Understand this. We can approach this whole issue, this command to be faithful, with confidence and not fear because God knows you. God knows you and God loves you and God will provide for you that which is necessary for you to remain faithful even in the midst of this difficulty. Because God is faithful, we can count on that. Second thing we learn from this story is that faithfulness is not always easy. You see, the problem with our one bag of gold servant is that he wasn't willing to take a risk. He was more concerned about his own skin than he was the betterment of his master, right? That was his reasoning. I know that my master is a tough guy, and so I'm going to preserve my skin. I'm not going to do anything that's going to bring risk to my life so that I can't get damaged, so I can look after myself. You see, the problem is that sometimes to be faithful means that we take a risk. Sometimes it means to be faithful to a friend that we say things to our friend which are tough things that friend doesn't want to hear. You know, I've said many times in life, some of the greatest times of my life is when friends who have been faithful to me have spoken to me words that I didn't want to hear, that I didn't like. Jones, you're being sinful. Jones, you're being prideful. Jones, that's less than you are. Jones, you're being afraid. And I've told you many of those circumstances, so I won't bore you again with the stories of my life. But sometimes being faithful means taking the risk of saying to somebody we care about things that they don't want to hear. And the risk is they might blow you off. They might break off the friendship. Who knows what they will do? But if we are faithful, then we put what's best for the person we love ahead of what's best for ourselves. Sometimes it's the risk of standing up at work and saying, this isn't right. The direction this place is going. Sometimes it's standing up in the midst of a friendship group and saying, we need to do this, we need to include this person, we need to reach out to this downtrodden, whatever it is. Sometimes being faithful requires a risk. It is not always easy. But faithfulness demands it. Third thing I think about as I read that, this story, is that faithfulness is a test of our contribution to the kingdom. The unfaithful servant was called worthless and cast out into the darkness. Take this worthless servant and cast him out into the darkness where there's the gnashing of teeth. Man, that is harsh. That is harsh. I don't like it very much. Problem is, it's in the Bible. You see, God expects us to be faithful. And these two great truths are held in counterpoint, are held in some kind of attention. On the one hand, God won't expect more of us than what we can handle. He won't allow anything to come into our life that we can't handle. And when stuff comes into our life, he says, I'll give you the Holy Spirit. I will walk with you through that. I'll give you a way through it. I'll give you a way out of the destruction that you feel is impending. Might not be easy. Might be tough. Might be incredibly costly, but I'll provide a way. And on the other hand of the spectrum, God expects us to be faithful. He just plain expects us to be faithful. He has entrusted you and me, the followers of Christ, with incredible things. He's entrusted us with the good news of Jesus. And he expects us to be faithful to that good news, to share that good news with others. He's entrusted us and empowered us with the Holy Spirit living our life. And he expects us to be faithful with the power of the Spirit in our life, to live faithfully, to care for others, to pray for the sick, to heal the broken, all of these things. He expects us. God has entrusted us with time and money and energy. And he expects us to be faithful with these things, to use them to the greatest advantage of the kingdom and those around us. God has entrusted us with friendships, relationships, and he expects us to be faithful in these relationships and to lead those relationships to the place where we can, in all the fullness of the glory of God, he expects us to be faithful in our friendships. God has given us bodies. He expects us to be faithful with our bodies. You know, I was listening to a lecture on my dog walk there last week. I listened to some lectures by James Houston. He used to be the professor of spiritual theology out there at Regent College. And he said an interesting thing, which I'm still trying to work through. I don't know if I totally get it or understand it all, but he said, look, we have to be faithful to our bodies. The reason that God gave us bodies is to make us available to other people. That's an interesting thought. That the reason that God gave us bodies, and we're not just floating spirits, God gave us bodies in order to make us available to other people, to serve other people, to be faithful to other people. God expects us to be faithful. Why is this so critical, that this test of our contribution to the kingdom? Well, really, it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Because if God's people are not faithful, how can those that don't know Christ believe that he is faithful? That's why it's so critical. Fourth and last thing that I carry with me out of this story that we all know so well is that faithfulness sometimes leads to greater responsibility. To the guy with 5 bags of gold, he said, you've done well with a little bit, here's more. To the guy with 3 bags of gold, he said, you've done well with it, here's 3 more. You see, the truth is that as God gives us responsibility and as we're faithful with the opportunities and the responsibility that God places upon us, then if we trust in him and the power of the Spirit are faithful to those things, he gives us more opportunity. But there's a couple of challenges with this statement. The first challenge is to this path of growth that God has before us called responsibility, faithfulness, greater responsibility, faithfulness, greater responsibility. This growth. The first challenge is that many of us sort of think that we want to grow and we say that we want to grow spiritually, but the reality is we're not faithful with the little things that God gives us. We don't keep our word. We don't return phone calls. We say we'll be there on Wednesday night. We don't show up. I was unfaithful to my prayer partner, Dave Bertrand, this last Wednesday. Woke up at 10 to 6 in the morning, thought, oh, I can sleep for 15 more minutes. Went back to sleep, woke up at 20 to 7, 10 minutes after my prayer time with Dave was supposed to begin. I was unfaithful. I'm hoping Dave will still show up next Wednesday. But sometimes, you see, we just kind of blow off these little things that will cause me faithful, and we somehow expect to be able to grow spiritually. It will not happen. It will not happen. I will grow spiritually, and I'll grow in my participation and in the usefulness of the kingdom in the same proportion to which I am faithful to the little things and increasingly bigger things that God entrusts me with. I cannot expect to grow. I cannot expect to be a dynamic part of the kingdom of God if I'm unfaithful in returning phone calls. Why would God trust me with more? It speaks to our character. The second problem with this plan that God has for spiritual growth through faithfulness is that many of us in our society today just plain want to avoid faithfulness and commitment. We just don't want to do it. We're afraid to say we'll do something next Saturday because we're afraid that something more fun might show up, and so I'm not going to commit to doing something next Saturday in case something happens and I don't want to break my word. Well, listen, we will never grow as long as we avoid faithfulness and commitments. It's the strangest thing. I said it a couple of weeks ago, but it's our society, somehow we've lost it, but all of the richness of life comes through commitment and faithfulness. Whether we're talking about our God, our spouse, our family, our friends, our neighbors, our employment, whatever it is, all of the richness grows out of commitment and faithfulness. But we run away from commitment. And we wonder why our life becomes impoverished and our relationships aren't long-lasting and our friendships aren't deep and our love for Christ wavers. It's because it requires faithfulness and commitment. Let me do this. I want you to reach in your pocket or your purse or something. Grab a coin if you got one. You got a coin? See if you can do this. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to hold on to a coin, okay? And what I want to invite you to do is this. Every time you handle a coin this week, I want you to think about two things. Because this issue of faithfulness is two sides of the same coin. First of all, I want you to think about one side of the coin, the head of the coin, which is God's faithfulness to you. God's incredible, abundant, overflowing, merciful, gracious, wonderful faithfulness to you, that though I am faithless, he remains faithful. But then the other side of the coin is that therefore out of God's faithfulness should grow my faithfulness. My faithfulness to God. My faithfulness to you. And to all that God places in my path. Each time you handle a coin this week, just think about faithfulness, this marvelous fruit of the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you are a faithful God, because without that we would be in deep trouble, because we recognize our own faithlessness. And so we're so thankful that our lack of faith does not nullify your faithfulness, but that you remain graciously faithful. But Lord, we want to respond to this invitation that you give us to reflect your faithfulness. There are many situations in our life, Lord, that it's easy for us to be faithful in because we enjoy it. It's easy. It's a reciprocated. And it's just easy to be faithful. But Father, we all have situations in our life, if not currently, then in the recent past or the near future, where it's going to be easier for us to not be faithful. Where it's going to be easier for us to say, well, it's too hard, or it doesn't matter, or if that's the way you're going to be, or any of those things. Holy Spirit, help us to be faithful when we want to run away. Help us to be faithful when we want to be vengeful.
Help us be faithful when we want to be lazy. Make us faithful. Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to bear the title Faithful in Christ with truth. We ask you for this mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.